told this story to the youth group before. I don't know, don't believe I've told it to you all. I was about 12 or 13 years old. And at the time was a member of a Boy Scout troop. It's a good time, it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. Scouting has sort of lost a lot of its steam. I think that's a shame because really marvelous and important lessons were learned. Our scoutmaster was friends with a local fellow who owned a farm. At the end of one of his pastures, he had a section of woods that had a path that went back into it, had some really great places for camping. And so they allowed us to go out and set up a campsite one weekend. And so we all got ready and got our Boy Scout uniforms on, got all of our tents ready and all that fun stuff. We got out to the location. My stepbrother James and I had a tent that we set up that we were going to share. Perfect location. Nice flat ground, no rocks, no roots. It was close enough to the campfire that we would maybe get some of the warmth and run some of the bugs away, but we weren't going to get smoke in our tent. We were really happy with our setup. We were ready to go, going to have a great camping night. S'mores were definitely on the schedule, and one of the fellows in our troop, I don't remember his name, I don't know if it's just that it wasn't important or if I blocked this out of my memory, at some point thought that he smelled natural gas. Now, thinking that the ideal solution to discover whether or not it really was natural gas that he smelled, he brought out a lighter and started going around the ground, seeing if he could figure out where the natural gas was coming from. And at some point, we hear him yell, and he jumps back. About 4 foot off the ground, there's a little jet of flame coming out of the ground. And being 12 and 13-year-old boys, we thought that was really cool. Until we realized that at some point, our scout leader was going to realize that we just, you know, set fire to the ground. So we decided that the most logical thing to do was just go grab a shovel and throw some dirt on it and the fire would go away. So we took a shovel, we threw some dirt on it, and we stomped on it, and about 4 or 5 foot away from where we were, two or three more jets of fire came up out of the ground. Now, we realized that we'd probably really gotten ourselves in trouble, so we started getting everybody together that we could with a shovel and throwing dirt on as many of these little jets of fire coming up out of the ground as we could. We figured sooner or later we would get all of the jets of fire out. And so every time one of us would throw a shovel full of dirt on one of these jets of fires and stomp on it, like three or four more would come up. We had like 14 or 15 of these things going at once. We realized at some point that we're going to set the woods on fire. We've gotten lucky up to this point. It's just ground that's on fire. So we went and we got one of our Boy Scout leaders, and of course they realized that it was a gas main that was leaking, and it was probably a really bad thing that it was on fire. So they brought out the fire department. By this point, it's late at night. The fire department comes out and they're digging, and we were there watching the fire department and from a safe distance. We're all covered in mud because we've been digging holes ourselves, trying to figure out how to put the little individual jets of flame out. And now there's a great big huge jet of flame coming out of the ground because they've been digging around this ruptured gas line. And I remember the firemen getting down into the hole with the burning gas line with a great big wet blanket of some sort that they'd taken out of the truck that they then wrapped around the burning gas main to actually cause it to go out. By this point, it was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Our scout leader decided that sometimes retreat is the appropriate direction to go. And he just packed us all up in the van and drove us back home. And I remember, here we are, covered in mud and dirt, showing up to our house at about 5 o'clock in the morning. We've not slept. And just throwing our stuff in the hall as we came in, and we went directly to bed, covered in mud, exhausted. And I remember my dad getting up and being like, "Why are you home?" And why is there mud everywhere? And why are you still in your Boy Scout uniforms? And we had to explain to him, we blew up a farm. So if any of you have ever been involved in scouting and you've not blown up a farm, you're doing better than me. He did not know what he was getting us into when he decided to go and look for a gas leak with a lighter. Not all fire is good. Not all fire is what you want it to be. We were looking forward to having a fire, like I said. S'mores had been promised. And we were all very excited about the prospect of sitting around that campfire making s'mores. We did not make s'mores around the gas fire because we were pretty sure that at any point we were going to blow up the farm. And so we were at a safe distance from the farm that was on fire, although we did help them dig some of the pipe out for a little while. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I have come to set a fire in this world. He makes it very clear that the fire that he is going to set in this world is going to cause conflict. And just in case, and I know that it seems like Jesus is being unnecessarily detailed and wordy here, but he wants people to understand that he's not to be misunderstood. He says, I come to set a fire in this world, and in the household of five, three will be against two, two will be against three. And then he gives this whole long litany. Fathers against sons, mothers against daughters, sons against father-in-laws, daughters against mother-in-laws. Make whatever joke you want to make about that. But there is the assumption that there is going to be conflict as a result of what Jesus has come to say and do. This does not mean that Christianity is about creating conflict. Now, I respect everybody that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I expect everyone to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that glorifies the kingdom of God. But I have every so often come across some of my brothers and sisters in Christ who have a really bad plan. When I was a college student, actually seminary student in Columbia, South Carolina, there's a section of town which is right adjacent to the University of South Carolina called Five Points. Five Points is where all the good restaurants are. It's also where all the good bars are, and it's where all the college students hang out. I used to hang out at a place called Adriana's. Adriana's was the first Italian coffee place that I'd ever come across in my life. And I remember discovering Adriana's when I was doing summer school Greek. We would do Greek 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And they would assign us like 3 hours worth of homework. And I would take my homework over to Adriana's because if you were there between 5 and 7 p.m., they had happy hour where you could get 2-for-1 espressos. I'd never encountered espresso before, so the first time I got there, I was like, this coffee is tiny. I need many of these. So I remember doing the 2-for-1 deal and getting like 6 of them, putting them all in one cup and drinking that as my coffee, and then vibrating through my homework, and I don't think sleeping that night. But I went back. That was my place to hang out, at Adriana's. There were, again, these well-meaning brothers and sisters in Christ who liked to come on the weekend down to Five Points, and they would bring a loudspeaker with them, and they would preach to the folks who were walking by about how they were all going to hell because they were sinners and God was angry at them. And they would rather specifically stand outside of Adriana's coffee house, which was really frustrating to me because I'm like, you've chosen the only corner in all of Five Points that doesn't have a bar on it. You've not thought this process through very well. And I would every so often talk to them and say, I don't know that this is a really great plan. As your brother in Christ, I'm not sure that you're doing a really good job expressing the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that is receivable. And I remember them saying, but God was clear that Christianity was going to cause conflict. I'm like, well, that doesn't mean that you go out and set a fire just for the sake of setting a fire. Because sometimes you're just blowing up the farm. So what is it that Jesus is saying that we're supposed to do? If we're not supposed to go out and intentionally be incendiary and offend our neighbors just for the sake of offending our neighbors. Well, he's saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ is here to redefine our understanding of truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is here to teach us a new way to live, to be a new person, to be new in this world in a way that this world is going to have conflict with. Because there are things that we are going to teach that will make people uncomfortable. And yes, part of it is acknowledging the fact that everybody that was walking around 5 points was a sinner. But then again, everybody in this building who's come to worship Jesus Christ is also a sinner, because there's not a one of us who can stand before the throne of God and say, I am perfect. Look at me, I've done nothing wrong. And I say this to people all the time. Humans think that God's will, God's law, is like grandma's china. You can chip it, you can crack it, you can break a couple of pieces, but as long as you've got most of the set, you're okay. That's not how God's law works. St. Paul's very clear. God's law is more like a soap bubble. You can't break part of it. You can only break all of it. So that makes us all equally sinners. Not a one of us can stand before the throne of God and pat ourselves on the back and say, look at me. I was perfect. But then we're also perfectly saved. Through Jesus Christ on the cross, we have been offered the gift of salvation. That means that our sins are forgiven, not because of what we've done, not because I'm good and you're not, or because I've done right and you haven't. We are saved because Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. That is a controversial teaching, that we have been laid claim to by the Almighty Son of God, and that God in that way chose to demonstrate his love for us in such an absolute fashion that it cost him his life. When Jesus says that I am anxious to have already made this fire ablaze, I wish it was already set, what he's saying is I wish my work was already accomplished on the cross. I wish that the church that is going to come after me, that will proclaim to the world the forgiveness of sins, the renewal of life, and the promise of life everlasting, was already in place. And that we had already begun to redefine what truth means for humanity. That all of the things that we think that we should value, money, security, comfort, power, wealth, youth, political influence, doesn't matter. All of that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is Christ, who has forgiven us of our sins. That is fire enough for this world. That's the sort of fire that you make s'mores by, not the sort of fire that blows up the farm. It's a different kind of fire, but it's the fire that warms, that strengthens, that comforts, that makes whole. And yes, we'll create conflict with those who are not happy to hear about it, but it's not the sort of conflict that's an intentional, in your face, I'm gonna make you offended conflict. It's the sort of conflict that says, I know you don't believe what I believe, and that's okay, but I'm gonna keep saying it to you because I need you to understand that above all else, God loves you. So I say to you all, go out and set a fire. If you smell natural gas, call the gas company. But set a fire with your faith, with the way that you interact with your neighbor, with the way that you tell people what you believe. And I'm going to leave you with this final thought. There is a famous magician. He's part of a pair of magicians, Penn and Teller. His name is Penn Jillette. And Penn is, and by the way, marvelous magicians, lots of fun to watch. But Penn is rather famously atheist. He gets really angry at Christians. And he doesn't get angry at Christians because we believe in God. He doesn't get angry at Christians because we've told him he's going to hell. Penn gets really angry at Christians because he will meet us and we won't tell him about Jesus Christ. He doesn't believe in God. He said he'll never believe in God. But he gets angry at Christians because we say that we have a means by which one can enter into right relationship with God Almighty, receive forgiveness, renewal, and a promise of life everlasting. And we don't want to talk to him about it because we're too selfish with it to share. Let's not be the sort of people that Penn Jillette would be angry at. Let's be the sort of people, not that we go up to Penn Jillette and say, oh, by the way, you're atheist, you're going to hell. Let's be the sort of people that go up to Penn Jillette and say, I'd like to talk to you about how much God loves you. What would you like to know? Amen.